Special Report.
A special report on the American economy.
Looking ahead. How long can it go? America's economy can overcome its toxic politics. The world should hope it does.
It may not be the finest work of American literature, but The President Is Missing, a 2018 thriller by Bill Clinton, yes, him, and James Patterson, does get at an essential truth. A cyber attack threatens to cripple the country and crash its economy. Knowing how utterly dysfunctional the political system is, the president goes rogue to save the day. Triumphant, he addresses Congress and calls for a healing of bitter partisan divides, noting that most of America's wounds are self-inflicted. "Our ability to solve problems and seize opportunities is shrinking," he intones. When trying to grasp what the future may hold for America's economy, this is as good a place as any to start. The story of the past few decades is that despite nearly constant political rancor and division, the country's growth trajectory has remained impressive. America has expanded its economic lead over the rich world and kept China's challenge at bay. But the biggest thing standing in the way of sustained outperformance is homemade, the self-inflicted wounds lamented by Mr. Clinton's fictional alter ego. The world has seen how political brinkmanship can bring on economic headaches. In 2011 and again in 2023, America ran smack into its debt ceiling, a limit imposed by Congress on how much the Treasury can borrow. Without last-minute agreements to lift the debt ceiling, the American government might have defaulted on some of its obligations, a potentially cataclysmic event for global markets and for the dollar's standing as the world's preeminent safe haven. The danger still lurks in the country's toxic politics. The simplest measure of a country's fiscal health is its debt-to-GDP ratio. America's has nearly tripled since the outbreak of the global financial crisis in 2007 to about 99%. The Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan scorekeeper, forecasts that it will soar to more than 160% over the next three decades. Alarming as that seems, it is impossible to know how much is too much. Japan's net debt ratio is about 157%, and investors still lap up its sovereign bonds. Given the dollar's centrality to global markets, America probably has even more room to run. But this also lets its political leaders off the hook from having to make unpopular decisions, namely raising taxes and cutting spending to rein in deficits. This makes America's fiscal woes a festering problem, not an imminent hazard. America's drift towards more extreme politics, as exemplified by Donald Trump, poses other dangers to its economy. The ugliest is a surge of anti-immigrant rhetoric fanned by the former president, who has vowed mass deportations if elected again. Foreigners attracted to the promise of America have helped make the country what it is, and not just in Silicon Valley or on Wall Street. The return of migrants in large numbers after the COVID pandemic, many with limited education, replenished an ultra-tight labor market, a major reason that growth has remained robust at the same time as inflation has receded. Mr. Trump has, for the first time in nearly a century, also made tariffs an integral part of America's economic statecraft. If he returns to the White House, he is determined to slap a 10% tariff on all imports, a decisive turn away from the free trade that, though unpopular today, has helped the economy flourish. It is true that America is not the manufacturing power it once was, but manufacturing is not as significant as politicians make it out to be. An economy with an unemployment rate of 4% and a per-person GDP of $85,000 does not have to be made great again. It is great. As for Vice President Kamala Harris, she seems intent to continue the Biden administration's posture of high vigilance towards America's tech giants, which some fear is a strategy to cut them down to size. Her opponents are obviously being absurd when they label her a communist. But her regulatory instincts look decidedly European, which is not an optimal recipe for economic growth or high-tech breakthroughs. America faces other concerns too, as laid out in this special report. Its shale boom has helped to fuel its growth over the past two decades, but the rise of renewables means that plentiful oil and gas may no longer confer the same advantages, and America lags behind other countries in the transition to cleaner power. American financial markets may be near a high watermark of outperformance, if mainly because its equities now trade at very rich multiples compared with those in other countries. Some reversion to the mean appears inevitable, and America's leadership in technology, with it again at the fore of what may be the next big thing, the AI revolution, will eventually lift other countries as its ideas and tools spread more widely. In this sense, America's innovation contains the seeds of other countries' catch-up growth. Yet, despite America's challenges, there is cause to be cheery about its economic future. Indeed, one conclusion from its successes thus far is that optimism should be the default assumption. Politically, America's tendency towards self-harm has been matched by a capacity for self-correction. At its moments of greatest economic need, the global financial crisis and the COVID pandemic, leaders have been able to work together across the aisle. America's governance has also proved resilient. Just look at the wheels of justice slowly grinding down the insurrectionists who stormed Capitol Hill on January 6, 2021. And America's heft gives it extra insulation. If a global trade war does erupt, it would probably come off better than others in a more autarkic world owing to its size and heterogeneity. Small, open economies would suffer the most. The two essential ingredients in determining a country's ultimate economic potential are its productivity and its population. The foundations of American productivity, a giant competitive domestic market, many of the world's best universities, and the sanctity of the rule of law, are firmly entrenched. They will endure if Mr. Trump retakes the White House. That is not an argument for complacency, but a recognition that the checks and balances built into the political system are more powerful than any president. America's demographics are also healthier than often appreciated. Like most other countries, it is getting older. But unlike most, it maintains a slightly higher fertility rate and a better ability to absorb immigrants, despite the rising xenophobia in its politics. Even Mr. Trump, when not promising expulsions, says the country needs to bring in more skilled workers. He has mused about giving green cards to foreign-born graduates of American universities. Today, America accounts for 4% of the world's population, and by 2100 it will still be about the same, according to projections by the UN. During that time, China's share is expected to fall from 18% to 6%, while the European Union will go from 6% to 3.5%. And America will, in relative terms, be a younger country. These are the roots of sustained economic outperformance. They look as strong today as at any time over the past three decades, which is good news not only for America, but also for the rest of the world. That America, a liberal democracy, remains a bigger economic power than its authoritarian challenges is an unalloyed positive for a global order under intense strain. For other countries to truly benefit, though, America will need to overcome its protectionist impulses to return to a position where its wealth helps to lift others and it can lead through inspiring example. Our view is that it has ample economic capacity to do just that, as long as its politics allow. There will, of course, be downturns, doubts, and drama along the way. But if you want to bet against America, The Economist will gladly take the other side of the wager.